Thank you. Today we are looking at the first part of Matthew chapter 24. So we are looking at the first 28 verses, which talks about the destruction of our temple. And I've also added and it's rebuilding. And as we go through the study, you will see why I added the rebuilding. The Lord is not only destroying the temple, he's also building it. In today's study, we are going to look at the Lord foretelling his disciples about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. The disciples desire to know more about this destruction. The disciples desire to know more about this destruction. Led the Lord to talk about the signs of the Lord's coming and the end of the world. In our discussion today, our focus is on the spiritual application or the inward application of these words of the Lord. This does not mean that there are no outward application of the Lord's discourse with his disciples. There are many outward applications of the Word of God, which, if we ignore, will blind our understanding of the Word of the Lord. However, we are focusing on the spiritual application today because it is important to have an understanding of how these words of the Lord apply to our lives. This is because we must live by every word of the Lord. It is also important to note that it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that the Lord is speaking to us, they are spirit and life. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "And he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus foretells about the destruction of the temple. So let's start with Matthew chapter 24 from verse 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Spiritually, the temple refers to our body, or specifically our hearts and mind, as shown in the following verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "But know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own?" Here in verse 1, we see Jesus departing from the temple, and the disciples showing him the buildings of the temple. This verse is therefore showing us that when the Lord is not in our hearts and minds, our focus tend to outward appearances of godliness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 to 5 to 7. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones, of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. In verse 2, the Lord's response to his disciples is that our temple must be destroyed. That is another way of saying that the old man of our flesh must be destroyed to pave the way for the Lord to inhabit our hearts and mind. The destruction of our flesh or our old man is a process, and it begins with the Lord coming to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness. That is the Lord's judgment of our old man of flesh, or the suffering that is marked out for us, his elect, in this age by the Lord. Remember that it is the disciples that the Lord was speaking to, and they represent his elect. It is therefore the elect who are being judged in this age by the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now let will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 1 Peter 4, 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The destruction of our temple is therefore a necessary action by the Lord to make us his people as he comes to establish his throne in our hearts and mind. The destruction of our temple is through the Lord's judgment of our old man of flesh, signified by the 3 days that Jesus said that he will use to rebuild the temple. The number 3 means the process of spiritual maturity through the Lord's judgment. It is through the Lord's judgment that our hearts and mind are cleansed to make it a habitation for the Lord. The destruction of our temple and the rebuilding of our temple is therefore the same, and is the judgment of our old man of flesh. John chapter 2, verse 18 to 21. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, sign, showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things. And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? In verse 3, the disciples wanted to know more about the destruction of our temple. Specifically, they asked the Lord about the timing, that is the sign showing that our temple is being destroyed, and also about the end of the world. In the Bible, the use of the phrase end of the world refers to the time of our salvation. And this time is the harvest, where the Lord separates us from our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world as he destroys all that offense within us, that is, judges us for the destruction of our flesh. Spiritually, therefore, the end of the world and the destruction of our temple, they are the same. This is portrayed clearly by the parable of the tares of the field. Isaiah 63, 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. So the end of the world is about the coming of the salvation, of the Lord's salvation to us. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 to 43 also points to this. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parables of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world, of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather up his kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. So you can see that the harvest is the same as the end of the world. And the harvest is the time that all the ties, the things within us, are gathered together and bent. So it also talks about the loss, I mean, the destruction is the same as the destruction of our temple. Also the rebuilding. Verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yes, that is our judgment. And then shall the righteous shine forth. And it is through this process that we shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Their Father who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Indicators of our temple being destroyed or the Lord's judgment in our lives. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. These verses show us some of the indicators of the Lord's coming into our lives to judge us with the purpose of destroying our temple and building it in 3 days. The first sign that our temple is about to be destroyed through the Lord's judgment is our recognition of the fact that we have been deceived. We know that when the Lord says in verse 4 that we should make sure we are not deceived, it points to the fact that we are already deceived. In verse 5, we are told that there are many false messengers who come in the name of the Lord. In our undiscerning minds during our time in the church system of this world or Babylon, we look to these false messengers as apostles of Christ and were therefore deceived. However, if we are called and chosen, then at a certain stage of our walk with Christ, we shall come to see that there is no truth in the church system and that we are deceived. That is the beginning of our temple crumbling down through the Lord's judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Verse 13, for such, that is 2 Corinthians 11, 13, says, for such, that is the many, they are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Matthew chapter 4, 24, verse 6 to 8. And you shall hear of war and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The hearing of wars and the rumors of war is another indicator of the fact that our temple is being destroyed. In the book of Revelation, we are shown the hearing of wars and the rumors of war in our heavens, or our hearts and mind. This war represents the conflict within our hearts and mind regarding the flesh and the spirit of the Lord within us. Ultimately, the spirit will overcome the flesh. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of this flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That's the war we are talking about. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. All of these are indication that, yes, the time has come for judgment to begin in our house. Verse 7 affirms to us that this conflict of war, or the flesh against the spirit, is all within us. As spiritually, we know from the word of the Lord that nations or kingdoms are all within us. Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. It's talking about Jacob and Esau in the womb of Rebekah. The famine, the pestilence, the earthquake are all indications of the Lord's judgment of our old man or flesh, as shown in the following verses. Ezekiel 14, 21. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my foresword judgment upon Jerusalem, and the sword, and the sword, and the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast? What this implies is that when we are going through suffering or fiery trials, we must remember that our temple is being destroyed to give way to the new temple where the Lord sits in his throne in our hearts and mind. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. And speak unto him, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his temple, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And that is talking about Jesus coming to sit in our hearts and mind, when he comes with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness. In verse 8, the beginning of sorrows in our lives refers to the early part of this process of becoming spiritually mature through the Lord's judgment. Matthew 24, 9 and 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. You shall betray one another. You shall hate one another. To be delivered up to be afflicted, to kill you, means to go through a fiery trial or suffering with the purpose of putting to death the flesh or our old man. The reason we are hated of all nations for the Lord's name's sake is because we do not conform to the standards of this world. John chapter 15, verse 18 to 21. If the world hates you, you know that he hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Here in verse 10, the Lord is telling us, his elect, that not all who started a journey with Christ will continue on the narrow road. Many will become offended, betraying, and hating one another. The Lord is therefore not telling us, is therefore not telling us that following him will be easy. We have all been witnesses of many in our midst who started the journey, this journey with us, and have fallen alongside the road. That is why the Lord warned us to count the cost. Luke 14, 28 to 30. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Matthew 24, 11 to 12. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. These many false prophets which shall arise to deceive many is what is spoken of in Revelation chapter 9. It is insightful to note that if we are able to know who these locusts and the four angels loosed from the great river Euphrates represents, then it means that our temple is being destroyed through the Lord's judgment. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 to 4. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the bottomless pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Revelation 9, 13 to 16. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. That's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. In verse 12, we are informed that iniquity will abound. We know from the word of the Lord that iniquity means self-righteousness. As indicated in verse 12, iniquity or self-righteousness leads to the love of many growing cold. That is to say, that when we become self-righteous, we are robbed of the need to become obedient. The spiritual significance of love. To become obedient to the Lord. Ezekiel 3:13. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts his own righteousness and commits iniquity. All his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity he has committed, he shall die for it. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The church system of this world of Babylon is filled with many who walk in self-righteousness and therefore disobedient to the Lord, who are part of Babylon. And therefore, we're self-righteous. When we come to see our self-righteousness, then we know that we are the ones whose temple are being destroyed through the Lord's judgment. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 and 14. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. In these verses, the Lord is assuring us that we must continue to endure to the very end in order to be saved or receive the prize. Salvation is a process and not a prize possessed at the beginning of our walk with Christ, as taught by the false prophets in Babylon. It takes a lot of patience to be able to attain the reward. Paul gave us a clue as to what we must do to obtain the prize. We must forget what is behind us, but press towards the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind means we must leave behind our failures and even our successes as we pressed on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. Not as though I have attained, I've already attained. Either way, already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be this minded. If in this, in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In Matthew 14, we are told that the gospel of the kingdom is being preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. As shown here, as shown earlier, nations are within us. Therefore, what we are being told is that the world within us, that is our hearts and mind, will be enlightened to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That is the same as saying that the mystery of God shall be finished as he has declared to us. All of this is accomplished through the Lord's judgment or the destruction of our temple. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. That is what the gospel being preached to all the nations means. That is when we are ready for the Lord's coming. The abomination of desolation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 to 16. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophets, and in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. In verse 15 and 16, we are told that when we see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel standing in the holy place, then we must flee from Judea into the mountains. This abomination of desolation is our flesh or our old man or man of sin. It is when we come to realize that it is indeed the man of sin who occupies the throne of our hearts and mind. Then it is time to leave Babylon or the church system of this world, which is signified here by Judea, to become part of the Lord's elect represented by the mountains. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Mark chapter 1, verse 5. That is to show you that Judea represents the church system of this world or Babylon. There went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sin. So it just shows you that they are religious. Verse Mark 3:7 says, "But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea." So the great multitude, they are from Judea. Okay. So Judea represents Babylon. As we can see, Judea represents the lost people who represent the multitude and are not part of the disciples. Leaving Judea, therefore, means leaving Babylon or the church system of this world, as the Lord wants us to do at a certain stage of our walk with Him. As we are aware, the mountains of the Lord is the house of the Lord or the assembly of His elect. He says we should leave Judea and then run into the mountains. So the mountains represents the church of the firstborn. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 makes that clear. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, "Come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the," and listen, "to the house of the God of Jacob." So the mountain of the Lord, or to the mountains here, is referring to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us all, teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Matthew 24, 17 and 18. "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. It is when we are on the housetop that we see the sun directly. The sun is Christ, and the house here signifies the church system of this world or Babylon, which makes it difficult for us to see the sun or Christ. Therefore, what is being said here in verse 17 is that when Christ comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness, then it is time to leave Babylon. We are admonished by the Lord to go back to Babylon, to carry along anything from the house, anything from the house. That means that we must let go of all the false doctrines of Babylon as we leave Babylon." In verse 18, we are given a positive application of the field. The field represents those who have left the house or the church system of this world or Babylon. It says, "Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." This means that as we leave Babylon, we should not walk again in the righteousness. We should not go back to Babylon to take our clothes. You know, clothing represents righteousness. So we should not go back to try to live righteously according to the law, signified by the going back of one's clothes. We are not to walk in righteousness based on the law again. Our time is past. Now we must leave. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 says, "And to him was granted that he should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of this of saints." Matthew 24, 19 and 20. "And woe unto them that have a child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither in the Sabbath day. Them that have a child, and those that give suck in those days," represent the woman with child in the book of Revelation chapter 12. This woman is the church system of this world or Babylon. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under his feet, and upon his head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." So this woman with a child, of course, is Babylon. As we explained in the previous study, a woe can indicate a lament over one's own pitiful state, as seen in Isaiah's vision of God's holiness. Isaiah 6:5 says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Here Isaiah is lamenting over his spiritual poverty. The use of winter in the negative context is shown below. Isaiah chapter 18, verses They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains, to the beasts of the earth, and the fowls shall summon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. So winter represents a period that we are actually filled with the beast. The beast is us. Flesh. Winter therefore represents the time that the beasts of the earth lodge in our earthen vessel. What the Lord is saying is that when we are under the full control of the flesh, it becomes difficult to leave Babylon. The observation of Sabbath shows our inclination towards religion instead of Christ. Therefore, the Lord is also saying that our religious inclination makes our exit from Babylon difficult. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the Lord's sake, those days shall be shortened. These verses are talking about the Lord's judgment of our old man of flesh when he comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness. It is essential that we go through this baptism of fire, just as our Lord went through in his life here on earth, to serve as a model of what it takes to become the Lord's children. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Verse 22 is spiritually the same as the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Those days being shortened is the same as the Lord making a way of escape for us so that we can bear the fiery trials marked out for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So when you compare scripture with scripture, you see that the way of escape is the Lord shortening the days. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23 to 26. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, look, here is Christ, and there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not." As we go through these very trials leading to the destruction of our temple, we shall hear of the Lord's wondrous works of healing and intervention in the lives of many in the churches of this world. However, here in these verses, the Lord is warning us that we should not pay attention to these signs and wonders. This is because it's all part of the strong delusion that he is unleashing on the church system of this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The last two verses, Matthew chapter 4, 24, 27, and 28. "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the sun be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together." In these verses, the Lord is assuring his elect that we should know inwardly of his coming into our lives. Just as in the physical world, wherever we are, we can see when lightning strikes. The saying that where carcasses, there will the eagles gather, illustrate a biblical truth. In other words, where there is wickedness, corruption, or a state of spiritual decay, the Lord's judgment will be found there. And that's what's happening to us. Our judgment is because of the state of our spiritual decay as we see the man of sin, our flesh, on the throne of our hearts and mind, and therefore should not be strange to us of what we are going through. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. The proverb also serves as a warning to be vigilant, as the signs of the Lord's judgment will be obvious to us. Historically, the Roman armies were the eagles or agents of judgment for rebellious regimes. Outwardly, the Lord is here predicting the destruction of Jerusalem's temple by the Roman armies, which took place in 70 AD. Our focus, however, is on spiritual reality, because it is the spirit that gives life, as the flesh profits nothing. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. May the Lord continue to enlighten our understanding more and more as we see the day approaching. Amen.